Let's open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day and thank you for loving us so much for all that you provide every day. And we do pray for Pastor and Krista and the boys, and just pray that you would watch over them and help them to have a good time, and that you would just keep them safe and give them safe traveling throughout their trip, and we would thank you for that. And we again would continue to lift up the Oberg family, especially their granddaughter and her husband. And Lord, just pray that your grace might be sufficient for them, and we would thank you for that. And I just thank you for those that are out this morning, and pray that you would bless this time as we look to your word for guidance and direction in our lives. And we would thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week in his message, some of you may remember this portion of Pastor's message, where he made reference to this verse in Hebrews chapter 4. It's in verse 12 and 13, where it says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do." That's a daunting truth, isn't it? To think of that, to think that no creature is hidden from his sight, and that all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Think about a little conviction. It's a convicting passage, and I pray an assuring passage of Scripture for us. But what I wanted to look at today, and I had been thinking about this, and when Pastor referenced that verse last week in his message, I thought that this would be a good fit to where he was at last week as he was continuing on in Proverbs. But primarily, we're going to talk about three general things today. I would call them the standard, the problem, and the provision. And hopefully we'll go through them and in that order, although there may be some overlap. But first, the standard. And Pastor touched on this last week. I just want to look at a couple verses. The first is in Ephesians 4:1, and you don't have to turn to all these unless you want to. The standard we see as believers is to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. Worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. We read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And Paul, in what I would say is one of the best summary statements of the Christian life, in Colossians 1:10, he writes this: "Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." That covers it, doesn't it? That covers the life, really, of the believer in Jesus Christ. The admonition to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, to bear fruit in every good work, and increase in the knowledge of God. Boy, if we could do that this coming week and the week after. Regarding this standard, we see Jesus' words to the adulterous woman who had been brought to him by the scribes and Pharisees when Jesus said this, "I do not condemn you either. Go, from now on, sin no more." Sin no more. Jesus knew what when he said those words? That she would sin again. But the standard is what? Go, sin no more. So the standard is high, right? The standard is high to walk in a manner worthy of our calling, worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, to bear fruit in every good deed, and to increase in the knowledge of God. But there's a problem, isn't there? If you're a believer, and if you've been a believer for any time, you know what the problem is. You look at him or her every day when you look in the mirror, right? The problem's you and I. The problem's the flesh and its weakness. In Galatians chapter 5, starting in verses 16 and 17, Paul wrote these words to them, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please." You can raise your hands because you can social distance and raise hands at the same time. Have you experienced that? Have you experienced that battle as you sense the flesh setting its desire against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh? Anyone? As we used to joke around, "I see that hand. I see that hand." It's real, isn't it? It is so real. Even though we don't see it like we see other things with our eyes, but this battle between flesh and spirit is as real as anything you can see with your eyes. They're in opposition to one another, and again, catch the last part of this, so that you may not do the things that you please. What do you want to do? You want to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, right? You want to please him in all respects. You want to bear fruit in every good work, and you want to increase in the knowledge of God. And then we find the description that the Apostle Paul gives of this struggle in Romans chapter 7. And I would encourage you, if you have your Bibles, to turn there. It's a little bit of a lengthy passage that I'm going to read. But it should be one of those passages that you read and you go, "I know exactly what he's talking about. I know exactly what he means." You might even say, "He knows how I feel or how I felt." Starting in verse 14 of Romans 7, Paul writes, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I have to just note that neither here nor anywhere else does Paul use that as an excuse. It's just a truth, right? So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do. But I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. And then that great passage of scripture that we've heard so many times. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Boy, where would we be without the next verse? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. I've often thought of the Apostle Paul, and in his first letter to Timothy, in chapter 1, verse 15, he wrote these words. He says, it is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. It's worth noting that he's writing the letter to Timothy, and he doesn't say, among whom I was, right? Among whom I used to be. Among whom I am, foremost of all. Which I think, for me, has begged the question, what did he mean by that? Did he really mean that he sinned more than anybody else in the day that he lived? Did he mean that as he had grown from the time of his conversion on the road to Damascus to this day, that he had become more of a sinner? That he was sinning more than he'd ever had before? Or is it more likely because of some other truths we see in God's Word, like this one found not written by Paul, but by Peter in 2 Peter 3:18, where Peter wrote another very well-known verse of Scripture, the admonition, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Do you suppose it was more about that? That as he grew in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he became more aware, more troubled by his sinfulness? Not that he was sinning more, and therefore would proclaim to be the foremost of all sinners, or we see again back in Hebrews 4 that we read earlier in verses in the 12th verse, we read 12 and 13, but in the 12th verse we read, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." That's what always gets us, right? We might be those who want to pretend that, well, I don't do certain things, that act isn't something that I'm involved in. But that sounds like who? The Pharisees, right? And Jesus taught in his days on earth that there were things of the heart and of the mind that already condemned you before an act, right? Thoughts and intentions, God is able to judge and knows. And again, that's why the next verse says, no creature is hidden from his sight. All things, including what? Your thoughts and intentions. Not just your actions. Your thoughts and intentions are laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So the problem is great, isn't it? The problem is great. But the one who set the standard didn't become aware of the problem. He was always aware of the problem, right? And praise the Lord that the one who set the standard and knew of the problem made provision. And God's people should all just go amen. Praise the Lord that the Lord has made provision for us. Because we're weak. It's important, it's really important for us to understand that the provision does not replace, cancel out, or lower the standard. Does that make sense? The provision doesn't replace, or cancel out, or lower the standard. In 1 John chapter 2, we read these words. "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin." And praise the Lord for the next words. "And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Amen? But again, listen to what he says. "I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins," doesn't lower the standard, right? "But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Don't you love that? Jesus Christ the righteous. As opposed to what? Jim Rankin, the sinner saved by grace, right? Or any one of us, the sinner saved by grace. Praise the Lord for our high priest, Jesus Christ the righteous. Back again in Hebrews chapter 3, in verse 1 we read, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, which we are, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession." We talked about that a little bit yesterday in our men's Bible study. Who is it that needs to consider Jesus? You and I, right? We need to consider him today, and we need to consider him tomorrow, and all of our days. We spent some time yesterday talking about this great need that God's people have to be reminded of things, as the passage that we read says, things that we already know. Sometimes I think in our arrogance, we already know that, right? I've already heard that before. But sometimes we forget the truth of what we've heard before, right? Not just the words or the verse, but the truth, the underlying principles of what we've heard before. Never tire of hearing the gospel message just because you're born again. Rejoice in the gospel message. As long as you are privileged to be able to hear it again and again. Well, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. There's at least four, there may be more, but at least four times the Hebrew author declares that Jesus is our forever high priest and states that he holds his priesthood permanently. Pastor Caleb, it's been, you know, time flies during this, or actually time is really slow during this time, and then when I try to think back, it seems like it was so long ago. But it wasn't too long ago during Sunday night service where Pastor Caleb was going through this portion of Hebrews and talking about the permanent priesthood that our Lord Jesus Christ has. It's not about his, it's about, we know that his work on Calvary is finished, is done, but his ongoing work as our high priest is something that that's a position that he holds permanently, and we ought to be thankful for it. Some of you have heard me mention this before, and I've often, at least on a couple of occasions, have used Mike and Linda as an example, and I'll tell you what I'm talking about in just a second. But in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult in hope of the glory of God. My illustration with Mike and Linda was, I think, just asking the question was, Mike, some years ago, you were introduced to Linda, and I'm guessing, actually I know, that you know her much more now than you did then.
Amen.
Amen. All for the good.
Amen.
And I would say the same thing. Mike, I don't know how many years ago it was, but there was a day that you were, by faith, introduced to this grace in which you stand today. Amen?
Amen.
And that I would say, Mike, have you come to know grace more today than you did when you were first introduced to her?
And a hearty amen.
A hearty amen, he says. We all know this. We all know this, not just in our minds, but in our walk with the Lord. If we look back and we consider what's gone on in our walk with Him, we should remember that that salvation experience, which was through our Lord Jesus Christ, it was through Him that we obtained, by faith, an introduction into this grace in which we stand. But it was just the introduction, right? Don't get me wrong, I'm not downplaying your salvation. But as far as the matter of grace, your salvation was an introduction to grace, not the end of grace by any means. And I think, no doubt, that's why Paul ends that verse, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. I pray that all of us, whether it's been a little bit or a lot of it, that you have come to know grace way more today than you did on that day that you were introduced to grace in Christ. So back to Hebrews again. Chapter 4, verse 14 through verse 16. He writes, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Do you see the connection for the admonition to hold fast to our confession? It is based on what? It's based on, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are. We were talking about powerful three-letter transition words yesterday. Here's one: yet without sin. We have one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. I think, honestly, that this is a hard truth for some believers to understand or to believe, to by faith believe. But do you hear what he says? And in this room, in this room, we have people that have gone through all kinds of different things. Some of them might be similar, some of them none of the rest of us have had to deal with. But look what he says. We do not, which means what? We do, right? We have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. Plural, right? Our weaknesses. He can sympathize with them. Why? Because the word tells us he's been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Don't ever think, don't ever let the devil convince you, or don't ever let the flesh, who's waging war against the spirit, don't let them ever convince you that he doesn't understand this one. He can't understand what I'm going through. He can't sympathize with me in my situation. Why? Because the word tells us otherwise. And that should be good enough for us, right? Oh, where would we be? Think about it. Where would we be if this verse said, our high priest can't sympathize with our weaknesses because he was sinless? It doesn't say that, does it? He was sinless, but he can sympathize with our weaknesses. And because of that, because of who he is, verse 16 tells us this. Therefore, let us, you and I, draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. Confidence in what? Not in you, not in ourselves, right? Confident that he can sympathize with your weaknesses. That he was tempted in all things as we are, as you are, yet without sin. Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Therein again lies part of the problem regarding the problem, is too much of the time we don't think we have need to go there, right? We think that that's reserved for those really big, terrible things. Again, trying to put this together, if it's true, and it is, that the battle rages on, the flesh setting its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, when is your time of need? Anybody can answer. Huh?
Now.
Now. And if I was to ask the question again, it would be now, right? Tomorrow morning, it'll be now. To think otherwise is to, I don't want to say just to be arrogant, because I don't know that it is that necessarily. It might be untaught. It might be a lack of understanding. It might be mistaught. But my time of need coincides, doesn't it, with pray without ceasing? But what if we don't go there? The admonition is for us to draw near with confidence to this throne of grace. But what if we don't? What if we don't go there? Where else will you receive mercy and find grace? Somewhere in the world? No. So it's hard to, there's so many truths that all, like all of God's Word, they're all intertwined, right? They all go together. But as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to always remember that we, and we're privileged in this position, we have a great high priest who can and does sympathize with our weaknesses. He has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. So let you and I draw near with confidence in, as we read before, Jesus Christ the righteous, confidence in His ability to sympathize with our weaknesses. Let's go to this throne of grace.
We are learning.
What's that?
We are learning about the throne of grace.
Amen.
What is the throne of grace?
It's His presence, right? It's a go to Him. It's go to the Lord Jesus in prayer, our high priest. And when you go there, I've joked around about this before. Some of you have seen me or heard me share this illustration that I have in my mind, that we go to the throne of grace, we leave, We turn around and walk away as God says, hey, hey, you forgot to receive the mercy. You forgot to find the grace for your time of need. So go to the throne of grace. Receive mercy. He has an abundance of it. I know that because I need a lot of it. And he has a lot of grace. I don't even know that there is a way to describe the amount of grace that God has. Grace to save and grace for life in Christ, right? Grace for time of need for all of his children all of the time. So that would be my prayer for us, is that we would never forget the standard and not look at the standard as a bad thing, we should be thankful that God's standard doesn't change, right? And we should be thankful that we can come to know, both through the Word and through life, our relationship with Him, we can come to understand the problem. And as we remember the standard, and as we grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus, come to understand the problem of sin more and more, then we can rejoice in the provision. Not to lower the standard, but to find that truth that we read in 1 John, I'm writing these words that you not sin. And if you sin, right? Or Jesus telling the woman, go and sin no more, knowing that he already was able to make provision for that. And we would continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And don't be afraid. Don't let it get you down. And I'm not saying that this will happen in your life or in my life. But if you ever grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or as we do that, don't be surprised if you come to that place of feeling, I'm chief amongst sinners. Not that you sin more than anyone else, or not that you're sinning more now than you did 15 years ago, but really that the glory of the righteous one makes those sins, I guess, what they are to him, right? And if that happens, don't get down. Continue to grow and continue to go to the throne of grace, where not that we can, but we will find mercy there. We will find grace to help in time of need there. And praise the Lord for that. Anyway, thank you all for coming this morning. Continue to pray for Pastor Caleb and Krista as they're gone, and continue to pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the day. Thank you for loving us so much. Lord, we thank you for calling us to the standard of walking in a manner that's worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for inspiring the writers of Scripture to help us understand the struggle that we have between flesh and spirit. Help us, Father, to rejoice in your provisions, to rejoice in our forever high priest, to consider him, not just today, but throughout our days. And Lord, help us to not allow things to get in our way, to prevent us from coming with confidence in you, confidence in your Son, to the throne of grace, where we will find mercy and grace to help in our time of need, which is, as we talked about already, all the time. And we just thank you for being able to meet our needs. We thank you so much for that. And we just ask that you would continue to mold and shape us and help us to keep our eyes fixed on that day that we will one day see you face to face and be changed, be like you. And we would praise you and thank you for that and for our hope in your Son. And just thank you for the day. Pray that you would guide and direct us all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.